Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you doing today?
Listen, we're not going to do I Was Right Radio, right?
We love I Was Right Radio.
You're right. We are going to do I Was Right Radio.
That's our favorite radio.
Now, if we say that both of us expressed concern when Joe Flacco was traded in the division for what is tantamount to a six-round pick. If you look at the value of going from a late sixth rounder to a mid to early fifth rounder, that's like the first pick of the sixth draft, the kind of value you're getting. But again, it was a pick swap. We keep forgetting that. But you and I both talked about, hey, it's all great when you think Joe is washed up, but if he sees anything in Cincinnati that looks like the guy we saw in 2023, everyone's going to change. Are we allowed to say that we said that 9 days ago, or is that revisionist history?
Well, just give talking points for today, 9 days ago. That's all it is. In many respects, yeah, because I remember I said 300-yard game. He's going to have a 3-touchdown game, everything else in between. And I felt like so many people were like, oh, but the Bengals offensive line, they're so bad. He's never going to have a chance. And look at it. No, guys, when you have Chase, when you have Higgins, and you saw last night the way that they just targeted him, 23 targets for Ja'Marr Chase, a career-high 16 receptions, that's understanding the game plan. And Flacco had a chance to succeed, and he did.
Was it not the most predictable thing? I mean, you and I saw it coming from a mile away. Again, not revisionist history. No, the Browns made a trade that nobody cared about at the time, except JP and I, and now 9 days later, everybody seems to care about it. And by the way, I shouldn't say everybody. I mean, everybody in the media blew off as it was no big deal. Who cares you traded him in Cincinnati? We pointed out the warning signs, and here we are. But it is the most predictable thing to happen, that he would go there and have success when he wasn't hamstrung by being asked to be something he wasn't, when he wasn't hamstrung by never-will-bes and yet-to-be wide receivers and pass catchers. And it's predictable because this is how the Jimmy Haslam-led Browns do business.
Yeah, and I think a couple of things can be true in this discussion, though. Like, yes, he has better receivers, and so he has more of a chance to look good. That part is true, but also you saw him connect with receivers that aren't named Chase and Higgins for big-time plays in last night's game as well. And you watched him with an offensive line that nobody thinks is worth anything last night as well. Like that last night.
And a head
night,
coach that no one thinks is anything as well.
Last night was more damaging to Kevin Stefanski than if he loses on Sunday against the Dolphins.
Oh, see, I do think it was damaging to Kevin Stefanski. I think it was damaging to Andrew Berry as well.
Well, both of them get a lot of damage in this one. But I think collectively, you're Thursday Night Football. You're on the biggest stage. A lot of heat is already around this game because Tomlin called out Andrew Berry. Like, collectively, that was worse for them what happened last night than what could potentially happen to them on Sunday in many, many ways.
So I do want to get to this. I'd just like to point out that, you know, it continues to come to things that happen like this, because it's not even about Joe Flacco. It's a running tally of laughable decisions that are made that we know this. We've thought this one out. We're the thought partners that crash and burn pretty consistently, and it seems to be specifically around the quarterback position, and I come back to think, well, those guys, the thought partners and the Haslams, they deserved last night. Browns fans did not. And that is the kick in the you-know-whats today. That is the frustration today.
Yeah, I mean, last night, I don't know how you feel. Last night and then now into today felt like the Browns played.
Yeah.
That felt like a game. It felt like a game that we got kicked in the chandelier, too. game where we got just deep-pantsed and basically just had tomatoes thrown in our direction the entire night. Like, that was a three-hour reliving of what felt like, at the time, again, a lot of people said it wasn't a big deal. That was a three-hour reliving of Joe Flacco showing what he should have been able to do here.
I do, and we're going to
what he did 2 years ago.
I want to throw this out to you guys, because we're going to get to this. 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Who do you blame for Flacco's Cincy success last night? Is it more on Stefanski? Is it more on Barry? But Miles said something that I think tags on to how I feel today as a Browns fan. Not as a media member, not as one of the many media members who, I don't know, is more performative for YouTube and Pat McAfee show than it is to speak to the truth of this situation. But Miles said something that I think might be true in a lesser football town. But I think it goes to the attitude of the Browns. And it really pissed me off when he said it. I want to say I do know those guys are more upset than we give them credit for. And sometimes you worry about the guys checking out. I don't see a lot of guys there checking out. I see a lot of guys not believing you can win, which is not great, but I don't see a lot of guys checking out. But he said they can't be more frustrated than us. Miles said Browns fans who are upset about Joe Flacco and about the 1-5 season can't be more frustrated than the guys that put on the jersey. You're wrong, Miles. We can. Because there's not 53 guys in that locker room that care as much as every Browns fan that I know. There's a lot of guys that care a lot. There's a lot of guys that put it all out there. A lot of tough-ass dudes. But for Miles to say that, on top of embarrassing Cleveland fans, this last offseason, you got some balls on you, dude. Like, seriously. I like Miles. I love watching him play. I was thinking today, I'm damn near over the shenanigans from the offseason. You don't know how many people in this town care. When I look at a Browns jersey, the ugliest damn colors in the NFL, I don't just see players that I've loved and respected, like Miles Garrett, like Joe Thomas is going to join us at 4 o'clock today, right? I don't see just Bernie Kosar, my earliest memory of Ozzie Newsome making a catch, or Webster Slaughter, or any of the greats on the in-between. No, I see Jim Wilson. I see the Jeff Garcia jersey that when I get sad because I miss my dad after 13 years of him being gone, I put that son of a gun on to this day. And I do it more than I ever talk about on air. That's what I see. This is generations of great fans. And so it's not just about what Miles said, but you are dead ass wrong if you think you care more than the people in this town. Because the people in this town were here before you were here. They'll be here after you're here.
I don't think he was making it like a measuring contest or anything. I think he was just trying to express that he's also frustrated.
Yeah, but I think he put it the wrong way. And the way that he put it, that's not helpful at this time. For a guy who speaks in 75 different directions and seems to say one thing and then another thing a week later. That is not where anything needs to be derived today. But you know why it pissed me off?
I'm dying to find out.
It pissed me off because that's the attitude of that organization. That organization, after every failure, we get a after every little modicum of success they have, we get a J-Dub tweet about, well, the trolls aren't going to like this. Yeah, yes, you outlasted Green Bay in a game that they fumbled in the most historic way, and you should be 0-6. We should have loved that a little bit more. It is the attitude of that organization that every decision they made, because their process is great, don't worry about the results. That's how you get. And it's not even about Joe Flacco. You and I saw this coming. It is about an attitude that you're what defines the Cleveland Browns. You aren't. You just are not. It's my mechanic, Rob, who busts his ass to put his kids through college, busts his ass every day. That's a Browns fan. It's my best friend Nate's dad, right, who passed away a couple years ago. That's a Browns fan who busted his ass every day, spent his hard-earned money to take his kids to watch a bad football team.
I think he was just trying to show that he's not giving up is the point. I don't think he was trying to measure it versus Browns fans.
Yeah, he said it multiple times. No, he said literally. He said it verbatim. The people paying attention, watching the game, don't care as much as the people to put the jersey on. You want to holster everything. You want to fire some shots. Fire it at the people who have failed you immensely. Don't fire it at the people who honestly watched last night and there was the biggest, fattest, I told you so ever. The Browns, meaning the Haslams, meaning Barry and Stefanski, they deserved that last night. Cleveland Browns fans did not. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Jason Lloyd at 3:20 will get his thoughts on, well, the latest quagmire from the Cleveland Browns, because there's just so many. Joe Thomas coming up at 4 o'clock today. Daryl Ryder at 6 o'clock. I do want to get to the Joe Flacco thing. The Miles thing made me see red like a bull. Who do you blame more for Flacco's Cincy success, Stefanski or Barry? You can answer either, and you wouldn't be wrong. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
That was an odd thing for him to say, like, because you can't measure – how are you going to measure something like that? You can't measure whether or not you care more than the fans. Like, in theory, Miles is looking at the amount of hours and sweat equity that he puts into it, which, yes, does – it overtakes somebody that has put 35 years into this just because of the amount of hours that he's putting in, day out, to try to work on his craft, et cetera. But, like, it's just you're never gonna win that battle. It seems like an odd hill for him to go down.
Players don't – listen, I can't identify with Jimmy Haslam. I can't. There's nothing like me and Jimmy are just completely different men. When it comes to Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, they've made their whole persona unrelatable because, well, we're strategic, we're thought partners, we're this, that, and the other. The only thing we have to relate to in this town is the players. And so when you get into a
Which really
contest,
aren't, at the heart of it, aren't that relatable, if we're being honest about it.
No, I don't. I mean, I think that's a very fair point. But I just think in the moment, like Henry on Twitter said, wanting a player to give you his feelings, then going on a rant that feels like it has nothing to do with what Miles said. If you didn't hear what I heard when Miles said what he said, that's fine. I do want players to be authentic, because I think it's much more worthy of being ripped when they're inauthentic than that. That doesn't mean that when they say something I disagree with, I'm just going to be like, well, he said what he feels, so I guess I'm just checking out on this one.
So to me, and this is where I think we do come aboard the same ship here, is the idea that this shouldn't be, and maybe sometimes they always position it this way in this franchise, at least under Haslam, it shouldn't be us versus them in any sort of capacity of this.
Yeah.
They should all be one big group getting together to be like, yeah, right now it's miserable, and we're all in this miserable suck fest together, but hey, like, we're all in it together, not trying to figure out who's got it worse. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if I'm poor and you're poor, we don't have to, like, pull up the check balances accounts to be like, oh, wait, I have $37 in my account, and you have $24. Like, we're both poor at that point. It just doesn't make any sense to me. We can all be frustrated. At that point, it should be like a band of brothers type moment, instead of being like, well, we're more frustrated because we put more hours in any given week on this than you do.
Now, specific to Joe Flacco beating Pittsburgh last night, Mike Tomlin's worst fear coming true. By the way, is he just bad at facing Joe Flacco, or is he just bad on Thursday Night Football? We'll never know.
Well, I think it's more Thursday Night Football. Flacco's now, what, 7-1 against Tomlin on Thursday Night Football games? He's 12-11 in his career against Tomlin. I'm going to go with the Thursday Night Football thing.
I agree.
Short rest, something with Tomlin and Thursday Night Football has never worked. He's great off of a bye, as we saw. He's absolutely miserable on a short week, and you saw it last night.
Now, that being said, we did hear, obviously, Mike had his comments about Andrew Berry last week.
No questions, by the way. No questions by the Steelers reporter after that game. None of them asked anything about Andrew Berry.
Probably should have. Feels like a little dereliction of the duty there.
You'd think it'd be something that would be asked.
Now, there were plenty of questions of Kevin Stefanski today about how he felt seeing what Joe Flacco did yesterday. And I take Kevin at his word on this one about whether he watched Thursday Night Football or not.
Watched Joe Flacco and the Bengals?
I did not, no. I'm definitely asleep on Thursday nights.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, obviously, as you know, you're always rooting for all of your friends around the league, and that really happens on a lot of teams, but really mostly focused on our team and what we got in front of us.
All right, I'm very torn between feeling empathetic for Kevin's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Stefanski, who I don't think wanted to trade Joe Flacco, and also being mad at Kevin Stefanski, who turned Joe Flacco into check down Charlie for four games and basically made Joe cross-eyed by just being like, oh, hey, just don't turn the ball over and we'll be fine, which turned out to not be true.
So we can all just get on the same page, though. Stefanski just, he lied to us there, right? He watched it. He just didn't want to say anything.
Yes. Yes. Probably with a scotch. Probably with like maybe like one of the old timey cigarette, you know, with like the cigarette extenders.
Drinking
or whatever.
On a Thursday. What is he, Don Draper?
I mean, Mad Men is great, by the way. However, I imagine maybe in a, like a quiet room.
I don't get scotch vibes with Stefanski at all.
What do you think? IPA?
Something that would piss me off. IPAs don't make me mad. That's not it. Even though, you know, I'm a domestic light and cold guy. I'm thinking more of like, a vodka with like a splat, you know, like the Mio drinks, the Mio squirt drinks, like vodka with like a splash of like the Mio squirt drinks to give a little flavor. And then he kind of like mixes it around and is like, I'm set for the night because that would piss me off.
I don't think
also
that's
sounds
great.
A little delicious if you're an alcoholic, but
so
neither here nor there.
I'm very much torn on who gets more blame because I just want to make sure Stefanski and Barry get
their blame. And I honestly, in a weird way, it felt like more people are going harder on Barry than they are Stefanski because you just look at the lack of talent that is on this Browns roster. But I've said it once, and this is going to be my theme now for a little bit, so I hope everyone's, you know, going to get used to it. If Andrew Berry's job was to put a non-competitive football team on the field, guess what? He actually is doing his job. If the goal of this year is to not have a high draft pick, to lose a lot of games, and just to pretend like you're trying, guess what? They're accomplishing that in spades. But Stefanski, using what is basically turned out to be the same idea that Zach Taylor had last night, was not nearly as effective as what Zach Taylor and the Bengals were. And I think Kevin Stefanski's got to own this one in a way that I'm not going to put it on Andrew Berry.
It's just never great. It really is never great when Zach Taylor outcoaches you. All right, that's like one of the key signs. Zach Taylor, who is like the new Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, and this, we're got to go back to Green Bay first before we go to Dallas, was just consistently derided by the media, that he should just be fired, that he was holding back Aaron Rodgers. They don't do that to any NFL coaches. It takes a special class, the right situation, to get denigrated in that way.
Well, they were sub 500 in the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers.
And that, well, no, fair. I'm
that
not
was,
saying
was
it was
tough.
Unfair.
That was tough for McCarthy.
But the same thing, that somehow bleeds over to Zach Taylor as if he's like Gomer Pyle, and you know.
Oh, so what was his game plan last night, though? Zach Taylor had Flacco throw the ball 47 times, and then Brown, who had 100 yards rushing at the half, finished with 11 carries. That did seem very similar to the same game plan that Stefanski had the week prior.
Oh, no, it's not a because he was actually, Joe was allowed to throw down the field.
Brown was effective, and well, that's the difference. And that's where I think people need to take more notice in getting on Stefanski in this conversation, is that people looked at what happened with Flacco, and they thought somehow what Flacco did was the same thing that what Stefanski was trying to do against the Steelers, and that's where it was night and day difference. Because Flacco wasn't wearing those golden handcuffs that we've talked about previously.
Yeah, and I think that's like, it is fair to say there he's throwing to Ja'Marr Chase, there he's throwing to T. Higgins. That in and of itself is a huge difference from Jerry Jeudy, Isaiah Bond, and, you know, 30-year-old left tackle looking David Njoku. Fair enough. But it's also the difference in what he was being asked to do. Now, I'll continue to go back to, I don't think Kevin was ever going to go back to Joe and then be like, okay, now you can throw down the field. But it would have been nice to have that opportunity. I think this is where, like, the one thing that I called out that actually agreed with Tomlin, two Tuesdays ago, I didn't like doing an in-division trade. I didn't like trading Joe Flacco in case you needed him at some point.
Yeah.
It's pretty alarming how quickly you get to be proven right when you just criticize the Browns for the dumb thing they do.
Well, just think about it. Like, what made Flacco special 2 years ago was the same thing you saw last night, and that is just throwing the ball up deep. I mean, and it was not just Chasen Higgins. It was your guy number 80. What's his name? Iosiva. What's his name?
Yoshivash.
Yoshivash?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I just, he had that one pass that was like 45 yards in the air, and 80 looked up and grabbed it as if that was like, it couldn't have been, it was put in his breadbasket. Mm-hmm. Like it was consistently stuff like that. Yeah. Yes. He targeted Ja'Marr Chase a ton. 23 targets in that game. He targeted him a ton. And it was shocking that the Steelers just never figured it out. But you let Joe cook. That was the point.
Who? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. But was that another thing that we got made fun of for in the station? Or is that also revisionist history? 216-474-0092. Who do you blame for Flacco's Cincy success more, Stefanski or Barry? Let's go to Kyle in Kent. Welcome to the show, Kyle in Kent.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm taking a different kind of stance on this. We've been in with Harvard and Penn State and Jonah Hill, and I feel like we're back to I'm your guys' age, right? Like, you know, my father passed too, but my first game ever was at Muni Lot, and I was, you know, 6 years old or Municipal Stadium, but and that's when I like came to Earth, like in, you know, a trough, eyeball to eyeball. You know what I'm talking about? But this we've been hearing thought partners and data points, but I want them to hear Walter Sobchak. What I heard today is he's cracking, dude. They are all cracking, right? Like, do you not feel like, and it's exciting. And this is because all we know for fun and excitement. Like in Dumb and Dumber, when the guy, they're waiting for him to eat the burger, and like we're just waiting for it to blow up, and we're here, we're on it. There's no more nonsensical data point talk. No, it's that chant Cincinnati gave, like the best four games I had in my life, five games was Joe Flacco, and he's going to do six games and win a playoff game, and work's going to be erased, and it's going to be, I love the zoo, guys. I love you guys, too, and let's enjoy the spoils here.
Kyle, we appreciate you. I like the idea of hey, let's just lean into how bad they're going to be. I will say, because I know Kyle's being playful, I am not going to be cynical. I can be cynical about Barry and Stefanski, but it's not going to turn me cynical on the thing. I'm still going to try and remain hopeful as a fan, even as I don't trust them, because you don't have any other choice.
Yeah, but this does hurt your hope. I mean, listen, I'd love to look at it glass half full, but you watch a game like last night and see what Flacco could do, and you just think, like, this wasn't 7 weeks later. This wasn't 10 weeks. It wasn't 2 years later. This was 10 days later. Happened so quick. Joe Flacco looked like he was 30 years old again last night. We didn't get any of that, Joe, this year.
Who do you blame more for Flacco's Cincy success, Stefanski or Barry? More from you guys, 216-474-0092. And lessons for the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I can't be the only person who watched that last night and thought, God, I'd love to be in a room right now just to hear what Jimmy Haslam might be feeling right at this moment.
Oh, no, I didn't want to be a part of that room. Whereas Stefanski was drinking vodka with his Mio energy drinks, mm-hmm. I was thinking Haslam's having the scotch that we talked about, and he's throwing it against the wall, and I would want to be nowhere in sight.
Oh, see, that's...
He had to be enraged with what was going on.
Oh, see, I come from a Hungarian Roman Catholic family. I'm very comfortable in the rage zone.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I don't come from that family. Yeah. I come from the family that is... we don't raise our voices, really.
You put it all the way down there.
And we just stuff it down as far as we possibly can.
See, the key is you got to pick up your own glass of whiskey and then throw it at the wall and then scream back, even if they weren't screaming at you.
Well, this might have been like a Tom in Secession type moment, or where you pick up your, you see him throw it, so you pick up the glass yourself, yep. And then you chuck it against the wall as well.
Just because it feels like you got to be one of the boys.
And then everybody just starts chucking glasses, yep, against the wall, and just in pure and utter outrage. You know, if I'm Haslam last night, like we talked about, like what could set him off or what could eventually get him to just implode. And it's games like last night. I mean, obviously games like Sunday are going to matter in a big time way, but you got embarrassed nationally. And we don't have enough national games to get embarrassed on this year. That might be the best opportunity for him to really feel that he doesn't have the guys that he needs to have in charge.
But this is where it's super important, because Barry and Stefanski have done some good things here, and they've done some really aw shucks dumb things here, right? It hasn't all been bad. The all been bad thing, the through line is Jimmy. The through line is the Haslam family. So, like, if you're looking last night and thinking, Joe should be here, or why do we have to trade him in Cincinnati, or why for the value of a sixth round pick, because that's what it was, the pick swap from the sixth rounder to the fifth rounder that you traded. You kind of got to start with yourself, and you kind of got to start, whether it's with a Ty Dunn piece where Ty Dunn says that, you know, Dan Campbell was a candidate, came in, said, I want to run the ball. And apparently Jimmy was like, nope, we got to throw the ball.
Yeah, because analytics told him not to.
Yeah. So, like, whether it's that or whether it's whether it's just the idea of analytics in general, and meaning it being the first thing that has to go. Like, it's not even about the Joe Flacco thing. It's just Joe Flacco's the latest evidence of somebody at the quarterback position leaving Cleveland, or a decision these guys have made blowing up in their faces one way or another, or a quarterback going elsewhere and playing better football.
Yeah, but the hard part, though, is that there's so many different baseball comps that you can have with this, but where the baseball comps fail, like when Ernie Clement goes to the Blue Jays and then is awesome, every Guardians fan is like, well, that stinks. That might be some reflection on the Guardians. And then when you start to see other players go over there, like Yandy Diaz or Junior Caminero, and you're like, oh, wow, like this, it's happening. It's happening more than once. Maybe we should start to pay attention to it, because it's starting to be something that's repeating over and over again. And with the Browns and Joe Flacco, like, I feel like there's a little bit of that happening here, where we've watched how many players leave the Browns and then be good. And we just have to wonder to ourselves, and Baker's at the forefront of this, why is it that when they're here, we don't know it, we don't recognize it, we can't get the best out of them?
Stefanski's failure is bottling Joe up and basically rendering him useless. And then we see that Joe Flacco from 2023 is still there, two games into his stint in Cincy. Barry's failure is, quite frankly, trading him within the division when you might still need him at some point. If Dylan fails spectacularly and you don't feel ready to go to Shador with Haslam, it's the whole thing. It is everything. And that's what he's got to learn from. What do you think? Or what do you think maybe last night could teach the Browns?
I don't know that Haslam can be taught anything at this point. I think he's very open to listening, it seems like, but he's listening to the people that I don't know that he should be listening to right now, because I'll give him this. He is incredibly loyal to whatever vision they've presented to him. Say that. But when it comes to Stefanski and it comes to Barry, my problem I have with both of them is that it feels like they're beyond being taught. It feels like they're beyond looking at last night and saying, huh, didn't have that evaluation right. Maybe we can get it right this way. Same thing with Baker. Again, this is truly just a mini version of the Baker discussion that we've always had. And that's just, I don't think they learn from these mistakes. I don't think they've shown me no sign of understanding that they have the right idea of what it takes to go off of where they failed.
I feel like the more we've gotten to know these guys, I do feel like the smartest man in the room motif feels real. Because, like, to me, I've been in rooms with plenty of smart people, and the smartest people in the room don't actually believe they're the smartest people in the room.
Yeah, most smart people actually think they're dumb.
Yeah, or at the very least, recognize other people's intelligence. And I think
that's the old line that they always tell you. It's like, if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to find another room.
Yeah, which, I was going to make a cheap joke about sports talk radio. We don't need to.
Well, there's only two of us in this room. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, the collective room.
You tell me what's going on here.
I'm the dumb one.
That's how I see it as well. Yeah. Turns out I need to find a new room.
See? Somehow it hurts both of us.
How's that work?
But, no, I mean, I agree. But I think my problem is, I don't think Jimmy can learn that. Again, I don't want to say, oh, analytics. No. Analytics can't be the only thing that matters. The head of the snake has to be football. You've proven your thesis was we're going to be more analytically inclined than anybody in sports, right? Anybody in football, certainly. That hasn't worked. At some point, success, process, if the process doesn't lead to success, your process, the answer has been delivered. But I don't think we're any close to learning that.
I mean, even like the Stefanski clip we played last segment, like, just think about how broken that man is right now, or how he just appears to be so broken. Yeah, that's a head coach of a football team saying, Thursday is when I catch up on my sleep. Yeah. He'd rather tell you he didn't watch football, which is like a crime in the football world, to be like, yeah, I wasn't working 24/7 and grinding tape and watching everything. He'd rather tell you that than to try to tell you something about what's actually happening around this team and around what happened with Flacco leaving. Because he can't. He's hamstrung.
He grew up listening listening to WIP in Philadelphia. So he knows not to acknowledge that he watched the game last night with sad tears.
Helping his dad break down Suns tape or something. I don't know what he was doing.
Dad, looks like these guys suck. Okay, all right. I think we're right.
Hey, yeah. Dad, you were just recently with the Pistons. You helped them out of getting out of suck. What do you know about this? Can you help us out a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're at the Suns. Oh. Okay. You mean people just pay you a lot of money just to kind of like be around bad teams and get them to be semi-decent?
Consultant's the best job in the world.
Can you imagine Kevin Stefanski, football consultant?
I'm just thinking, well, how about this? Nick and Jonathan, football consultant. But instead of constructive criticism, we just mock you until you get it right.
Well, I also think we'd do great at the college game, if I'm being honest, where we just row up to them and be like, so your answer is simple. You need more bag men. Yeah. You need more NIL. Okay. This isn't hard.
Okay. Have you thought about getting better quarterbacks? Just thinking out loud.
Like, you gave this guy $3 million. Great idea. Oh, I ever tell you this story when we were house hunting a few years ago. The real estate agent, I'll make this quick. The real estate agent was like, she's like, all right, so I like huddle together. Like I got a secret that if our first offer doesn't work, this works every time. And I'm like, ears up, I'm ready. I'm like, okay, good. Like I'm locked in. Let's do this thing. And I'm getting ready for like hear this like this big real estate trick. And I'm like, all right. And then she goes, we'll offer them about $15,000 more than we initially offered them. And I'm like, that's not a trick.
No,
that's just more of my money.
No. That's how you do it.
That's not a trick. That's just you're just giving them more money.
By the way, was her last name Haslam? Because it does seem like Jimmy's idea of, oh, I failed. Here's money.
When she said that, she waited for like, now take my retainer now. Like, yeah. I'll take my fee now. Thank you.
Also, I got some dynamite property in Brook Park that I might be able to sell you there. 216-474-0092. What did last night teach you about the Browns? And we're going to continue on with the Flacco game and what it signals to about the Browns. But one caller today made a case I didn't think we were going to hear. Not now, not ever. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.